Welcome to week 9 of Stat 222. We are gliding, hopefully, towards the finish. Thank you all for participating at whatever volume and intensity you chose. We're going to proceed through the topics of week 9 on page 1 of the PDF file, the usual 20lect9.pdf. We're going to do time dependence, recurrent events, and joint growth curve survival analysis methods, JM methods. So three main topics today, finishing up most of our core content, and then next week is some special topics, some of them quite interesting, but we're trying to finish up the survival analysis main module today. So on PDF page 2, indicating some of the resources we're drawing from, the event history analysis with R has some nice recurrent event stuff, advanced survival analysis, and we have books on recurrent events and joint models for longitudinal and time to event data. Those are our three topics. Coming through, we have on PDF page 2, reminder about exams and credit for August 2020. Grading for the two units will be based on a take-home, do-at-home problem set. As we've seen, there was a partial posting to get you going over the weekend, last weekend in October, on or about October 30, 31. First three problems were posted, and you'll find with the posting of this week 9 material, the remainder of the problem set, the full problem set is posted. And the live web page will show you that, and be good to look at the problems early and also to think about firming up your plans for how to submit your solutions, whether in hard copy or making it available to me electronically. And there's some comments on the exam page for that. Communication with me is encouraged. Let me know, and I'll know what to look for. So moving on to the actual week 9, which starts at the bottom of PDF page 3. Bad page break here when I did a PDF of the web page. We have week 9, advanced topics for time to event data, time dependent covariates, mixed effects Cox models, nested data, recurrent events, frailty models, joint modeling of longitudinal and time to event data. That's better said there than on the first page. And what we have here, we have a couple of in the news items from 2018, but they're still relatively recent. I grabbed under my limited access to publications remotely. We have regular exercise may keep your body 30 years younger. We have a New York Times and a publication version of that. One I want to say a few words about, and we'll take up reciprocal effects next week, longitudinal reciprocal associations between anxiety, depression, and alcohol use. Does anxiety make you drink alcohol? Does alcohol make you anxious? And that's in adolescent girls, and that's a nice, poorly done, but there aren't any really good methods for reciprocal effects. That's why they're a special topic. And then on to our main three lecture topics, time-dependent covariates, and going back to the recidivism data, mixed effects, multi-site studies, survival analysis within each experimental site with a good example, i.e. nested data. And also recurrent events can be seen as a mixed effects model. Everybody has their own on-off process, i.e. multiple events usually, rather than just one event in survival analysis. And we have tumor recurrence in patients with bladder cancer. I think it's from South America. And we have book Cook and Lawless. There's a number of books. Terry Thurnau has a book. And then third, we'll mention a little bit joint modeling of longitudinal and time to event data. And AIDS data, CD4 counts, and survival would be the measured data and the survival aspect of that. And there's lots of other examples. And there's current activity. The Join Our package indicated below is a big British effort. We'll look at JM. That's one that exists. And we have review questions and exercises covering each of these topics. And then next week, we'll do special topics, tracking, reciprocal effects, a number of useful stability, which is tracking, one measure of it, that are useful structural equation models, a few other things. I have a menu we can pick from week 10. Okay, now on to one of our in the news items. 6 of the PDF. Well, before the gyms were closed for this year, I could have looked upon this. I did look upon this with some hope. And the idea is to take a look at whether aging process can be at least mitigated by lots of exercise. Is physical decline inevitable with age? Older athletes have healthier muscles, brains, and immune systems and hearts than people of the same age who are sedentary. So in the Journal of Applied Psychology from Ball State, where David Letterman went, so it deserves props. People exercised a lot in the 70s, about pushing 70 now or in their 70s. One group that exercised all their lives, one group that didn't, and a group of 20-year-olds. And the outcome, so we have cross-sectional design, as we're just looking now, but we're looking at people of different ages, and we can see that can be misleading. We did some of that in week 6. And we took a look at cardiovascular system, muscles, and the muscles of the older exercisers resembled those of the young people. Age active group had the cardiovascular health of people 30 years younger themselves. So, study was cross-sectional, as we see on PDF page 7, highlighting a single moment in people's lives, and cannot tell us whether exercise habits directly caused inferences in health, or if and how genes income diet, those that chose to exercise, may be quite different from those that didn't, i.e. college professors have lots and lots of free time, whereas real working people are in the office. So we don't know, but isn't it fun? Okay, now PDF page 8 has the abstract from the reciprocal effects. Okay, PDF page 8 is an example of the longstanding reciprocal effects question. Does X cause Y or does Y cause X? And there's methods that try to find causal predominance that are badly flawed. This looks at anxiety or depression and alcohol use. Do anxious adolescent girls drink more alcohol, or does alcohol make people anxious? And they try to disentangle that cross-sectional correlation by doing longitudinal research. And it's one of the motivators for doing longitudinal research, just because we know that people that are high in anxiety also have considerable alcohol consumption does not mean that one or the other causal pathways, as they call them, is strong. So they tried to look at this with a large sample of adolescent girls and basically didn't find much. They just did cross-legged regressions, which is not very, very wise, but we'll take a look at that next week. And they found even alcohol decreased depression, according to their models, but there's not much to believe here. But it's a great example of the kind of research question we'd like to have a handle on. And it's a hard one. It's hard enough to look at growth or change or development in depression, say, over time, or aggression. Looking at things that might be linked with it in reciprocal causation is a whole lot harder. But it is a motivator for trying to look longitudinally. That's why it's a topic for special topics next week. PDF page 10, is the restatement of the Cox proportional hazards model as we see it. That is, the idea is that the baseline hazard contains the time dependence, although now we'll start looking at time dependent covariates. Employment in the recidivism example is our main object, and that can have an Xi of t in PDF page 10. Proportional hazards, those cancel out for individuals and no time dependence. Constant over time proportional hazards model. PDF page 11 reminds us of the recidivism example, which was a core one of week 8. We've taken a couple passes at it. But what we set aside was the employment data. That is, whether being employed or not Remember, the treatment variable is giving some financial support as a substitute for employment, perhaps. But employed or not is likely to be important, especially if we lag it 1 week. If you're unemployed the week before, you might be in dire straits this week. I needed money because I had none. I fought the law and the law won, as I've said, and that pretty much describes here. So we want to use time-dependent covariate. It may be one of the proximal causal variables here, moving things around. And the financial aid might show up stronger if you take employment into account, because those that have a little bit of financial support may be less moved by being unemployed. So there's good reason for this. So this has a pretty strong justification for trying to be part of the model and the experimental comparison. So we'll try to figure out how to use it. We'll kind of go from wide form in survival analysis, which is the way we've been doing it, every individual is a row, to long form, where every individual is weak, that is stage of employment. So we have a weekly employment number, is a row for as long as they're in the study. So this will become a very large data set when put into the equivalent of long form. And we have a macro, a very complex macro that John Fox did. Terry Thurnau has T-merge, which is another function that does this, changing survival analysis wide form into long form. So rossi.txt is wide form. PDF page 12 gives you another introductory idea about time-varying covariates. And it's a nice one where you're looking at asthma, time till an asthma attack, time to event, and your covariate is air pollution level at time T. So that's likely to be coincident, and that's going to vary with time, as those of us who have spent the last 3-4 months looking at air quality every day before deciding whether to open the windows. So that strikes home, and we can still do proportional hazards, but we have to see how to deal with the time-varying covariate, because now every day that we measure a different air pollution level, we kind of have a different set of data for that individual. And so I'll have a different row for each day, even for the same individual in long form. So time-varying covariates, air pollution, and asthma. The general and the vignette that Terry Thurnau did, and you can see these are updated. I think the original version I used was 2010 or 2012. So they keep tweaking it. But parts we use are pretty, the introductory parts are the same. So this is what's linked as when you need to know this, this is one good place to go. So for time-dependent covariates, different cover page on PDF page 14, but since I marked it up. So introduction to time-dependent covariates, along with some common mistakes, tools for creating time-dependent covariates, and he has some, we're going to use John Fox's, and then time-dependent coefficients is a different topic, but we'll show that in the next page or two, just making that distinction. The latter we have some links to and some mentions of, but it's not going to be our focus. That's rather hard to get at, but it's a developing topic, and the understanding of the distinction is important. So PDF page 15 is from Terry's vignette. And let's make the distinction between time-dependent covariates, which is a common and well-understood usage. That's one in the middle of PDF page 15. You can see X of T is varying over time, like employment or like over weeks in recidivism, or like air pollution varying over days. We'll have a different observation on it. A different place where time dependence come in is if in equation 2 is a time-dependent coefficient. These models are less common. One way to deal with non-proportional hazards, the non-proportional hazard assumption is that coefficients not change over time. You can look at that with Cox CPH. There are some methods for trying to fit those when you have rather rich data. Before setting the topic aside, let me show you what Terry has to say about time-dependent coefficients, and then we'll retreat back to time-varying covariates. So for the veteran data set, we have a Karnofsky score, which is just how well you get around, basically, just physical impairment score. And that seems to have a time-dependent effect, as we see from Cox CPH, on predicting survival time. The Veteran Administration Lung Cancer Study, randomized of two treatment regimens for lung cancer. And that's PDF page 16, the data set he's looking at. One thing to note on PDF page 15, one of my favorite Terry Thurnau asides, you can get rid of the significant stars if you want and display some intelligence. It can be taken many ways. That's noted by the red box. It's a good little thing to put in your R options if you have a collection of those. And that makes you look clever. Okay, Veteran Administration data, just as an aside, Karnofsky proportion score is a time dependent, seems to have a time dependence. And if you take a look at Cox CPH on his fit, the idea is the effect is not constant over time. Early on, it has a large negative effect. And then any measure is over 6 months old is no longer relevant. Basically, just because you had a good Karnofsky score at the beginning isn't going to make much of a difference later on. So there are time-dependent coefficients or time-dependent effects. We're going to look at time-varying covariance. That's a more common one. And so this is just one useful aside. PDF page 19 is Terry's basic example of easing us into time-varying covariates. And he has a nice way of explaining it. It's PDF page 19 at the top. So consider a subject with follow-up time 0 to 85 days. That's the full record. And assume we have a time-dependent covariate creatine that was measured at day 0, 90, and 120. So it is an important medical measurement that changes over time, perhaps as they get sicker or not sicker. A way to encode the data for the computer is to break the subject's time into three time intervals. That's making it into long form. That is, there's no longer one record for this survival record for this person. There's a record at each episode length of creatine. That is 0 to 90, 90 to 120, 120 to death, because each measure gives you a different record. So that's how we get to long form. So we have three intervals in some sense for the same person. It was kind of as we did in discrete time survival analysis, the Willett examples, where they make a long form. So that's what we're doing for time. That's our strategy, getting that done seamlessly by calling a macro. That's what we'll use Unfold for. That's in our package and also John Fox's macro. So PDF page 20 gives you the basic strategy, one way of using Cox XPH, and we'll see this in our examples. Age and creatine are the predictors here in this My Data example, and status. And that's basically just breaking it up into multiple episodes is the way we'll deal with time-dependent covariance. So we could have as many as 52 rows for a subject in the recidivism data. So that's why it gets long. So Terry's function is T-merge, and that's another way of doing it. Trying to do things two or three different ways, I think, is even though well-intentioned, would be too much pain. So we will take the approach we use with John Fox routines. This is another way of doing it. You can take a look at this also if you're really faced with data of this sort. And the T-merge is the function, PDF page 22. I just included it here to make sure you know about it. Now we're getting back to the recidivism data on PDF page 23. Okay, to get some focus, we've shown a variety of introductory items. Let's start on PDF page 23, looking at John Fox's walkthrough of using the employment data, the time-varying covariate, time-dependent covariate, weekly employment, and we'll walk through his treatment and then the corresponding class example, which is posted using making the long form and running the Cox regression in a couple ways. And we see we're going to get a good pass on proportional hazards tests, but the treatment variable's not going to be as strong as the investigators might like. So PDF page 23 starts out time-dependent covariates, and then PDF page 24, Cox model can easily handle the data management conceptual treatment of time-dependent covariates, accounting process representation. That is, we're going to go each, break it up into parts. We focus on each time interval for which data are available, recording the start time of the interval, the end time, and whether or not the event of interest occurred during the interval, and all variates of the covariate during the interval. So each person is going to have multiple rows of entry, different intervals of the time-dependent covariate being different. So for the first person in the Rossi data set, the recidivism data set, for this first subject, you're going to have 20 rows of the time-varying covariate because they're arrested in week 20 and therefore don't have data after that. But before that, they were unemployed for a good long time, and that might be the function of the arrest, leading to the arrest. And notice they were in the control, this person was in the control group, so had no other financial support. That may well be where we're going with this. Subject one was rearrested in week 20, PDF page 25. Consequently, employment dummy variable is only available 4 weeks, 1 through 20, and was unemployed most of the time. Okay, the subject, okay, he played with that. 20 records for subject one. Okay, head fake for classroom presentation. Start, stop, each week you have arrest, you have employment in this altered data. And so subject by time period data has many more records than the original data set. We're going to find 19,809 versus the 432 subjects. So you can see this blows up to a nice long data set, but that's what computers are for, in order to do this counting process representation. PDF page 26 shows you our commander plugin dot survival. Our commander, before there were other things like our studio, which have dominated prepackaged our use, our commander, which is John Fox's creation, was popular. Our studio has kind of taken over for that kind of use, especially if you're on a small screen laptop, and I'm not. I have sitting here with a half dozen 43-inch monitors plus, so I can just scroll it out. But this is for our commander, which was a package, and it has the plugin unfold, convert a survival data set from wide form to long form, PDF page 27. We're going to also print out the macro for you. You can download that. Unfold, PDF page 28 starts it, and I just bring in the macro from there, but you can also use it from the R Commander package. And so sitting there in Toronto is unfold.r. That's what we do. And you can see this is not something you'd want to write yourself. PDF page 28 through 30. I just included it here so you, for the record, not to sound it. So here we have our class example. And this is what we want to focus on for our own basic skill set. And again, you could do it T-merge with Terry Thurnau's methods. I didn't think it was useful to do both. And you can see person one, who went 20 weeks, was really unemployed all weeks. He just altered it to have some variety in the class example. Person two got arrested week 17, therefore goes NA after that. So person two has 17, if you can see towards the bottom. So if I did a head fox long, so what did I use? Model from week one, right, no pH concerns. I did the stratification of age and group. that we did before. Week 8, our Q1, Finn was significant. Use the unfold function from John Fox to make a long form version, time dependence source, or use Fox package, the R commander. Here's what I did. And then I ran unfold. Fox long is just unfold and kept the names. The event is arrest. The time is week. And that did the hide Fox long 50. So I got the first 50 observations this long. You can see person two has up to week 17. And you can see posed on the PDF here that that subject two was employed for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, weeks 10 through 14. Otherwise unemployed, and unemployed the couple of weeks before they were rearrested. So that's our Fox long. Now we can, and in review question one, if you take Fox long and run the standard survival analysis model on it, the Allison model, you'll get the same result, whether it be long or wide. It's when you use employment that you need the Fox long. Now, a bit of an aside, but something you will see is once you have long form, you have a couple capabilities for doing kludges on your proportional hazards, time dependence problems, even without employment. And I showed you one old-fashioned fix where we have this weekly now stop time. If you make interactions of age and WEXP with the stop time, it's an alternative to doing the stratifying that we did before, and it totally clears out your Cox CPH proportional hazards violation assumption. Also makes Finn non-significant. So we're not using employment here, but we are using the long form to deal with the age and WEX, saying they aren't having the same effect every week. And picking up those interactions clears out the proportion hazard process we saw with both WEXP and age. We stratified on age to fix that. So there's another way of patching it that you will see, and that's an aside. I called it teaching point one, PDF page 32 in the middle. That's our class example. So I wanted to throw that in. You need long form to do it, but you're not using the employment variable. So let's now try to use employment intelligently. Because the more important question is, were you employed last week, might dictate your actions of whether planning a illegal act to get some money, getting rearrested. So were you employed last week? So we make a Fox long lag data set by just using lag one. So now in the row, it's going to be your employment status the week before, and that might be better linked up with recidivism. And I put in the age stop, so I did the same model with age stop and WEX stop and employment. That got me a non-significant Finn. Employment seems to be useful in the model. We could do an OVA on that and show that employment is quite useful. So aren't the interactions. Employment has a reduces the hazard maybe in half multiplicatively, being employed but not being employed. That's quite a thing. With a reasonable confidence interval 0.3 to 0.7. I'm on PDF page 33, the output of the model. Cox CPH works great, but Finn is just confidence interval from Cox long lag 0.48 to 1.02 on the hazard. We just don't have enough events to pin this down better, but Finn seemed to reduce recidivism by about 30%. Employment was even stronger, but still not quite significant. So we play around with that in our Q1. You can see how we do the employment, making the long form, and then running Cox pH on it. And we can do the same sorts of proportional hazard tests. And that works great. But for Finn, it's just on the edge there, depending on how we do modeling, which is not something we'd pursue in real life. We'd pick a model and report it. But just to show you the, it's a nice data set for showing the effects of analysis decisions. So that is the end of the recidivism example and showing you how to use one approach to using time-dependent covariates, such as employment or the cretazine score. TimeReg is another package, PDF 34, that I wanted to show you that allows you to do a variety of things, including time-dependent, time-Cox, time-varying effects. So these are, as we said, time-dependent coefficients. And time-Cox is one way of doing that. I just want to mention that. How well things work out or whether we're able to detect it is a whole other question, but it is the other way time dependence can be exhibited, just not as commonly tried to do, but time-Cox is one way of doing it. Okay, that brings to an end on PDF page 35, the part one of lecture topics, and we'll take our pause here.